Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
You don't want to miss 20 minutes from now. It's what everybody's talking about. And you will get Dukes and Bell's special opinions on the biggest story coming up at 5:20. It is Dukes and Bell, man. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad to have you guys checking us out, listening. And we hope you listen every day. And if you do, thank you very much. Hey, man, there is a lot going on this afternoon. Thanks to Brian Jordan for jumping on the program with us. Again, watch him on Fox Sports South, giving us some opinions on the Braves. Guys, we'll get back into that because, again, the Braves are in a really interesting situation now as we count down to the trade deadline, which is about, 18 or so days away, and something has got to get done. But We'll get back into that. Trey Young also in the news, and we'll tell you why. But, Mike, as we do each and every day, it's time to talk about our Falcons in the Falcon Report, which is brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, Domino's, guys, right now, all pizza is 50% off. It's pizzas only, guys. There are some restrictions that do apply, but go to Domino's.com and check out the deal. It's a heck of a deal for a limited time through Sunday. Again, go to Domino's.com.
All right, as we look ahead to the start of training camp, it is July 27th. Of course, we will be there each and every day, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys out there. And more importantly, Mike and I, we will have an announcement about where we will be broadcasting from and doing the show from. So make sure you stay tuned for that announcement. Meanwhile, Mike, Deion Jones.
Debo.
Who?
Debo. He'll be at our Big Brother station, B103's Car and Bike Show, along with other Falcons like Grady Jarrett. But see Debo coming up on a Saturday up at the World Congress Center. Debo, for my money, is one of the best young linebackers in the NFL.
Well, in a roundtable discussion, ESPN's NFC South beat writers. Did that include Von McClure, by the way? I'm assuming it did. Yes. Okay, thank you, Bo. So positive. They debated in who is the rising star in this division. Listen, guys, I think Deion Jones, Debo, takes the next step to become the best linebacker at his position in the NFL. Now, the reason I say that is if you go look at the numbers and his impact, Mike, and how many big plays, okay, it's not just about making tackles. It's those big plays that he seems to be involved with, whether it's an interception from Drew Brees, whether it's a fumble recovery, a strip. He's always around the ball.
His rookie season, remember, makes the big, was it a fumble recovery? Interception against the Saints down there in the Superdome in front of the home crowd playing his football at LSU. So he's, he's one of those guys, they always say, being around the ball, like Johnny on the spot. Love Debo's presence. He's a little undersized, but that's what Dan Quinn wants because he wants you to be able to cover.
Yeah, and as much as we talk about, McCaffrey in our division and other running backs that could potentially hurt some teams, I think this is a strength for our team. What I mean is our linebacker speed. Now, there is one guy, and we're going to get back to Debo here in a minute, but I like the fact that he's already being recognized as a rising defensive star in the NFC South because it's true. But one guy we had an eye on last year, and we both think he's got to play better, is Duke Riley.
Yeah, Duke's a guy that, remember, that kind of got Vic Beasley to have to play some outside linebacker, move around on the field to do some of the things that maybe got him out of a rhythm because whether it was through injury or just not responding. I think we got a little spoiled with the 2016 draft class and we figured, well, we'll just plug in a third-rounder linebacker and he'll be ready to go. And Duke wasn't ready to go at all times, I would say, compared to what Debo did in his first season.
Well, he did get injured, but that's a guy that also has that sideline-to-sideline speed. And I think Duke Riley will improve. But right now, and it's crazy to think back, guys, if you go back 3.5-4 years ago, linebackers on this team, well, they were a minus. They were a negative. They were not a plus for us. They were not something that you went, hey, Falcons linebackers are really good. As a matter of fact, I thought we were below average. We had guys that probably shouldn't have been starters. We've upgraded almost at every position there. And now with Devondre Campbell, his size and speed and covering ability, right. Deion Jones, Duke Riley, you talk about even the backups. I feel very good as a position group, Mike, that we're going to be fine at that position. You know, and if you start talking about camp in areas where you go, all right, where am I concerned? When I look at our young defense, I think our D-line is going to be fine. I know that people are concerned about, you know, Poe. But remember, Deidre Sinnott is a kid we drafted. But more importantly, we're going to rotate guys. Jack Crawford, Shelby. There's going to be a variety of guys that jump in there. So I'm not as concerned about that because they're not going to ask Deidre Sinnott to play 900 plays or 850 or whatever it was that Poe played last season. And then the secondary. Shouldn't the secondary also be a plus for us when you talk about the experience now of Rocky and Trufant?
You know, that's the thing. There was an article, I guess it was a D-Led that had it in the AJC talking about, you know, what are your expectations? I got to be honest. Since Trufant got his deal, Trufant, you know, and it was coming off the injury, but it wasn't a lower body. He got caught flat-footed a few times last season. I honestly thought, for my money, and I was on Rocky for being inconsistent, I thought Robert Alford did a better job on the, if you look at the total of 2017, than I thought Trufant did. And Trufant's getting paid a lot more money than Rocky Alford. Then, of course, we upgrade. No disrespect to what we got. But, you know, Isaiah Oliver, big reach. I mean, we've got some good pieces in the secondary right now. And, of course, safeties are solid.
They are. You know, I do think when you say, is there a weakness on our defense? What is the weakness on our defense? It's depth? Is that the weakness?
Maybe just, you know, will the guys, all those pieces you just mentioned, you know, Derek Shelby for a new deal for less money, Jack Crawford, all the other pieces we rotate. But can Deidre Sinnott step in and be what Grady Jarrett has been? You know, I'm not saying that's a tall order for all the touches, or I should say all the plays and the snaps that that Poe was involved with last year. But that could be a question. Can you get that internal push from the inside of that line? Because we all, and then I think we all expected Vic Beasley. I know I keep harping on it, second day in a row. For me, the biggest question mark, can Vic Beasley get back to double-digit sacks? And he should if Tack McKinley's as good as we think he is. Because he's going to draw some double teams or some extra attention. So hopefully Vic can get back and get the quarterback down.
It is our Falcon Report, again, brought to you by Domino's, guys. As we go from defense to offense, Bill Barnwell has us as the third best arsenal in the NFL. And I think this is simple when you start talking about the weapons, right? And again, this is all on the perception that Julio is around and everything's fine. So that's what we're going to do. We're not going to tell you that it's not going to be and he's not going to be there. We're going to say Julio's there and everything's rolling. So Julio, Mohamed Sanu, I think an upgrade with Calvin Ridley. Now, he's got to prove this. But when you go from Turbo, right, and we love Taylor Gabriel. He was a friend of the show. He moved on to Chicago. We wish him the best of luck. But I actually think just from a talent standpoint, Calvin Ridley is an upgrade. Then you talk about our running backs, Mike. Do we have the best running back duo in the NFL?
Well, you got Freeman Coleman. Everybody's high on Ito Smith out of Southern Miss. But let's get the most out of it. We talked a lot yesterday about what do you do with guys whose contracts are expiring. In the case of, you know, Tevin Coleman, he's got a chance to stay here in Atlanta. I mean, if Free, let's again, knock on wood. Heaven forbid that there's another concussion for Free, but that's a concern because he's had a couple of concussions now. But if Tevin Coleman does find a way to maybe secure the job, I know that we all kind of scoffed when Thomas Dimitroff said there's a way financially to make it both work. Okay, it's a good problem to have. I got two guys back that can start for anybody, but let's use them in concert. Let's get Steve Sarkisian to get these guys, as he said he would in the press conference talking to the media last month. Let's get these guys in the backfield at the same time to create some mismatches against defenses.
A lot of people, like myself, thought that after watching the opening game last year and Austin Hooper get off me and throw a DB to the ground and continue to run for 88 yards on a touchdown, that this is going to be the breakout year. It wasn't. He didn't have a breakout year because after that, he only had 398 yards and two scores over the final 15 games.
And that goes back especially to the red zone performance down the stretch. I mean, you've got to be able to get the football to your tight end. Takes pressure off Matt Ryan. No one expects another Tony Gonzalez to come walking through that door, but Hooper's got to hold on to the football and make those difficult NFL catches, like the one against the Dolphins game where you can't let the ball hit you in the shoulder, in your chest pad. You got to make some plays, man. In the case of Hooper, you know me, I would have rather seen them go get another tight end in that very rich tight end draft class this year, but they're committed to him.
They are.
Let's put him. He's putting the work in. We know that. He's done extra work with Matt Ryan. He's been up at Flowery Branch. Let's hope it pays off.
All right, so Bill Barnwell again, having us as the third best arsenal as far as when you look at teams around the NFL. Now, obviously, the Rams are up there because they were right there last year. And when we went and played them, they had a great offense. Obviously, the Saints, they averaged 28 a game last year.
What the Saints do?
Marcus Davenport.
Well, again, that's going to be their big piece on defense.
Nice.
I told Craig to cue that up. That makes me laugh. For you Saints fans out there, that big reach.
It was a reach. Are you kidding me?
But Alvin Kamara, that's the go-to. Don't forget, Mark Ingram's got a drug suspension now. So Ingram's going to be out for the first, what is it, first three games, Squid, or four? Four games out for him down on the Big Easy there. Well, you didn't know I had that queued up?
No, it just makes me laugh because that's – That laugh, people have asked me about that laugh. That's my laugh with my boys when people are just, right. when we're clowning around.
I usually only hear that laugh when we're in Vegas or somewhere doing the show outside the studio.
And one of us gets clowned or gets made fun of, and then you just start, and you can't stop laughing, and it's contagious. So it just makes me laugh to hear that because I hadn't heard it in a while. But, yeah, Saints, nice reach. Hey, so bottom line is, offense is good enough from a talent standpoint, Mike.
Now, again, Fusco, the Fusco factor.
Uh-oh.
Last year it was the Sarkisian factor. By the way, Steve did lose his lawsuit. It got thrown out. The judge said there was no chance for any of that stuff against the USC. It was a $30 million lawsuit for wrongful termination. That's gone, and that's behind him, so we can focus on the Falcons. But Fusco, the upgrade, hopefully, for Schweitzer. Levitre, maybe the last year for Andy Levitre here with the Falcons. Jake Matthews about to get paid. And hopefully Alex Mack, who I think some guys, not me personally, but I have heard guys say that Alex Mack lost a step last year. We'll see how that develops. But because Chris Chester.
Really?
We never,
Alex Mack?
We never, but I do, in his defense, I think that's a byproduct of having Schweitzer on roller skates to his right.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't feel
or
that
also
way.
The fact that he broke his leg in the Super Bowl and he wasn't the same guy for much of the season last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think he's quality. I hear you. I mean, but I still think he's the best or one of the best at his position. By the way, Barnwell also talks about the Giants. Do you think they take a huge step offensively? Now, they've got, obviously, Odell Beckham coming back.
It's about the offensive line. They made some upgrades. Can the offensive line step up? They got Saquon Barkley. I mean, you would think between Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, and Ingram at tight end from Ole Miss.
It sounds good.
I mean, if Eli just doesn't do – again, it's like we talk about Julio Teheran. Good Eli or bad Eli? If Eli can be that kind of 2007, 2010 Eli that gets hot and gets streaky when it matters, they got more weapons. I mean, weapons that can get after it, man.
I don't want to disrespect the Chiefs either as we talk about this because Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, by the way, somebody should have reminded Andy Reid about Tyreek Hill in the second half against the Titans, you dummy.
Kareem Hunt. They got some weapons, but they got a rookie quarterback now, right?
It's Mahomes time.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. So, again, I'm just telling you, when you start talking about our offense, it has the capability of being the best. Mike and I feel like if we get to that 24-point mark, we're going to be in every game because our defense is that good.
Right on.
If we start talking about 28 points a game, now we're doing something special because I don't expect us to be where we were 3 years ago, making a run to the Super Bowl, averaging 32 a game. But give me 24 to 28, Mike. We're going to be in position to win every football
game.
That's
it. If you guys go back and look at the losses last season, I mean, even the Patriots game, we were in it for a minute, you know, until we had a dumb personal foul on defense. And then obviously, you know, we just played. I still can't believe how flat we played in that one. But if you go back to the Buffalo game, that Miami game, you've got to – now making animal noises. You've just got to get to 24 points.
What's going on here?
It's kind of – as soon as I became young Frankenstein, putting on the Ritz. But anyway, you got to score more.
It's
that
good.
Complicated. Oh, it's good.
It's good.
It's not that complicated. Julio, get him in the end zone. Somebody get – what do they say in John Wick 2? Somebody get that man a gun. Somebody get Julio the football in the red zone, please.
Let's hope so, guys. Remember, join the morning show this Friday from 6 to 10. At the Racetrack Store in Acworth off of Highway 92 for the Morning Rush live broadcast. Stop by our broadcast area for a chance to receive a coupon for a free small coffee while supplies last. Hey, stay right there. A fight in the airport. Who it involved and what went down. Also, we get to our big story. And actually, there's a couple of them today.
Yeah, we got a new World Cup semifinal. I think not one we expected. And somebody just lawyered up.
What do Saints do?
Marcus Davenport.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We got a few big stories, actually, to cover here as we get to our big story, including the latest on the World Cup. The final is set, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But before we do, there is and guys, you got to go watch the video, all right? An amazing, and I say this because you don't see this stuff every day.
No.
But Mike, Pac-Man Jones, and for those who know the history, Pac-Man is a guy that's played in the NFL actually a long time now, playing with the Bengals. He's had his fair share of incidents, but this was not his fault.
No, it wasn't. I mean, you got to be honest, when you look at this and all the history, because as soon as we mentioned Pac-Man earlier in the show, guys are saying, oh, what do you do now? Well, I mean, it's not that cut and dry, is it?
It really isn't, man. And if you've not seen the video, I encourage you to go watch it and check it out. But when you see this video, you're going to be like, oh, man.
With any incident that's on video, you know, you always see the video a few seconds perhaps after something initiated. Because let's be honest, if you got your camera phone, you don't pop it out until some ruckus is in front of you. But Pac-Man's given up about 5 or 6 inches of height and a good degree of weight. But Frank gets some punches in early, and then, Pac-Man finishes it. Pac-Man gets him on the ground.
The end of that video, which we really don't get to see, apparently Pac-Man is working him on the floor there.
Let's go to Harold Letterman for the score.
What do you think, Harold?
I got it 112, 110, Jim, and I'll tell you why. I think the guy got some blows in early. Frank Reagan shows some athleticism, but the ring generalship, actually the corridor generalship, goes to Pac-Man. I thought Adam scored early. I think he scored strongly. He got his man on the ground. I got it 112, 110, Pac-Man. Back to you, Jim.
I would agree with him. Harold Letterman again, guys.
Yeah, Frank Reagan is the guy, and we were doing this earlier, this riff. Frank, he works at the airport, but he didn't have the presence of mind to take off his vest.
Take your vest off,
which
Frank
identified him as an airport contractor at Hartsfield-Jackson. We've identified the corridor as B using the power of deduction. Carl and I saw the Popeye's chicken that the lady that Pac-Man was with. So she got some fire. She took a hit in this fracas. But as we said in the video, you don't know what precipitated it. Was he looking at Pac-Man's girl? Did he play football against Westlake back in the day? And now he's working at the airport and Pac-Man's, you know, doing what he's doing. Not sure how it started, but he got some shots on Pac-Man, but Pac-Man finished it.
Yeah, this is a lose-lose for Frank. Because not taking the vest off, you've not only lost your job now, but you also lost the fight. So,
not to mention Dukes and Bell are making fun of you, Frank, and we know your friends probably listen.
Yeah, listen, and again, I don't know what this beef was about. Who knows? All I know, the funniest part to me is Frank ends up in Grady for his injuries. Pac-Man and his lady are like, we're good, we're taking our flight.
Yeah, so either he's going back to Cincinnati or a tropical locale, we're not quite sure. But Frank, they use his hospital shot for the mug shot. Frank, which is never good.
Yeah, this is an ABM employee. That's why the information is out there. And so, again, this happened in Terminal B. Now, here's the bigger question, all right? And we're going to get to the big story here in just a second. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I don't know if I give up my Popeyes for this, man. I mean, she dropped her Popeyes bag and was chasing after Pac-Man like, baby, don't do it.
We've decided that might be our game winner. What food item would you not drop? Even if a guy insulted you and said,
I don't know about all that.
Flip you the bird. You say, hey, look, man, I'm eating a Roy Rogers cheeseburger. You just get out of my face.
Yeah, I'm still taking a bite into that thigh. I mean, you know, he's like, man, you a blankety blank. You're right, I am. Hold on. Let me take this bite.
All we can think of, though, is if you go up and you watch the video, it's on TMZ Sports. It's Adam Pac-Man Jones. We said it. Everything we've seen, Pac-Man didn't instigate this or whatever. It sure didn't look that way to us. And Frank Reagan was the guy that got charged, the airport employee who started it. But, Carl, the people, the passengers around the gate, oh, you know what they're thinking? Oh, God, please not on my flight. Please not on my flight.
Well, we talked about it. The worst thing is a delayed flight when some idiot, okay, does something. And if the people, I think this is what they said by gate B, six or nine or one of those, you know they were panicking. You watching this and you're like, please don't let them be on my flight because you know security's coming.
Hey, Barbara, I don't think we should fly Delta anytime soon. I don't like these changing flights in Atlanta. You got two guys going Joe Palooka over here, and now there's chicken flying in the air.
Yeah, it was not
I
a good
we'll
look.
I think we'll fly United next time.
But I got to say this, though, all right? And to Pac-Man's credit, for all the things that he's done, and he's done a lot of bad things, he defended himself. I mean, that's how I'm seeing
against
this video.
Against a bigger opponent.
I'm seeing this video like Pac-Man's like, bro, I got to get to the gate. I don't care what you're talking about. And then he was like, no, you ain't leaving, playboy. And then you get into the back and forth, and now it's on. But, yeah, Frank, man, you got to take that vest off. That's all I'm saying. Well, you don't have to worry about that now, though.
Right. Well, that's Frank, you could go be Kimbo Slice in somebody's backyard, but you might want to work on your cross because you got taken down. So that's the silly story. Now we got a serious story for one of the big stories.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story. Listen to this. On Dukes and Bell.
All right, before we get to that, let's talk about who's moving on in the World Cup, because it is official. The finals are set. I don't know if it's a shock or not, but I got to say this. From what I was able to witness, because I'm doing a radio show, pretty entertaining game.
Yeah, England scored early in the, I guess it was the fifth minute by the time they set up the free kick on a nice goal. And then, unfortunately, they just couldn't sustain it. Croatia came back. And then, remember, Croatia's played, what, like almost three matches now, practically, in overtime. They've gone to the wire against almost everybody. But Croatia, it's Mario Mandzukic, who plays, by the way, for Juventus, who's coming to play the MLS All-Stars on August 1st. But the Juventus man with an unbelievable goal after one of his players heads the ball backwards, and England kind of didn't expect that, and he just takes it and goes. So more heartbreak for England. Some would say England was never expected to get this far, but once you're in the semifinal, hey, all bets are off. Let's go win the championship.
Yeah, for the third straight time, Croatia needed extra time, and England, heartbreak city, man.
Mm.
By the way, real quick, Darren Ailes, we feel you, man.
Yeah, and if you missed our conversation with the boss, the El Jefe of Atlanta United, he was joking around, it'll be great, we'll have England taking on France. But unfortunately, the Croatia, and I got to be honest with you, it was a shooting gallery. Croatia was just, they were all over for almost 45 straight minutes in the second half. So the better team, I think, to Craig, who's a big soccer fan, and I, they won this match. And so now France-Croatia, you'll see that before you roll in to watch Sounders take on United. They'll have it on all the big screens at the Mercedes-Benz on Sunday.
All right, guys, it is Dukes and Bell. It's our big story. And it is a big story. It is also a developing story as we talk about what went down here in Georgia. This is something we've been following over the last 48 hours, but today it gets a little bit more interesting with Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy. If you don't know the story, and again, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't listened over the last 24, 48 hours, and you're going, well, I haven't seen this story, Dukes, what are you talking about? The NFL and Georgia police are investigating a home invasion. This happened Tuesday at a house owned by LeSean McCoy, right? Nicknamed Shady McCoy. You probably heard of him. Which his estranged girlfriend was allegedly beaten and robbed of jewelry, okay? There's a lot of theories here as to what went down, how it went down. But the bottom line is it was not a forced entry. There's some background information, Mike, that we're also finding out about LeSean McCoy trying to get rid of this young lady.
He's been trying to evict the woman from the house, and there was a court date that was coming up actually this week that got postponed because of an emergency for his former girlfriend's attorney. So now that gets pushed back to August. So the earliest maybe he'd get some resolution on this would be a month or two from now. So you wonder if that's a trigger. It's all circumstantial evidence, but when you consider the fact that the assailant was asking for specific items that were gifted to her, allegedly, by Shady McCoy, it doesn't take, a genius to figure out he better lawyer up. And lawyer up he did. The Office of Defense Attorney Don Samuel, and if you're not familiar with that, that's Garland, Samuel, and Loeb, big-time criminal defense attorneys here in Atlanta. He is now representing a guy that could be in a whole mess of trouble. Let's just hope, worst case scenario, this was just some wackadoodle who stumbled out of this house. But the more and more things we're learning about that, that makes that scenario less likely, Carl.
No signs of forced entry. To me, that's a big factor. We kind of laid this out earlier, and I just want you to follow me here because I'm not saying that Shady, by any stretch of the imagination, is guilty. I want to hear all the facts. I want to make sure that we're talking about facts and not things that we think happened. But, guys, from a speculation standpoint, and that's all Mike and I can do.
All we know is what we can see information-wise right now at 5:30 on a Wednesday.
And I want to say that, for me, the telling part of this is two things. One, no forced entry, which means they had access to the home. Two, whoever did this, why are you asking for specific jewelry back? It's a robbery. Every person that I know has ever been robbed, and I'm talking about serious robberies, they come out of everything. When those folks that I know have gotten robbed, it's not, I need that pinky ring. I need your wallet. I need your money. Give me the car key. Give me everything. And I find this very suspicious, Mike, that these robbers not only beat her and pistol whipped her, but they asked for specific items.
Yeah, so that's hard to get your head around. I mean, if it's a smash and grab somewhere where they just go upstairs to where they think your jewelry is. Look, here's some other scenarios. Let's pretend that I'm Shady McCoy's attorney, and I'm Samuel here in Skin Company. Are there other incidents like this in that part of town? Do you have a link to somebody else who's doing home invasions? Because there better be. I mean, if they find the guy that did it, and first things first, you're a piece of garbage what you did to this woman. Okay? She looks worse than anything you see in a Rocky movie. So first things first, if it's worst case scenario that it isn't somebody who was hired by Shady to go do this, Shady ain't ever playing football again anywhere.
No.
But if you're LeSean McCoy, you better have somebody with a criminal record who's been doing this sort of thing in that part of town, and they go get that guy. Because that's the only out you've got. I mean, when you look at all the things we've just talked about, as we said, it doesn't take Perry Mason to figure this one out.
I hope.
And now, I hope we're wrong, because it's the last thing the NFL needs.
I hope LeSean McCoy is innocent in this. I do. It's a bad look. I hope he wasn't involved with this. I just think it's hard to distance yourself when it's your home and you have these events playing out the way they did. But he may not have anything to do with it. And if it plays out that way, we're not going to rush to judgment. But, man, Mike, this looks fishy. It looks fishy.
Yeah, as we said, we were talking earlier, Carl, I think I kind of freaked Carl out a little bit because you thought of me as like kind of a psychopath. But I said if you were going to perpetrate this crime, you would go do some other home invasions around that area so there would be potential for the police to go, okay, we've got a serial burglar or robber in this case.
You're devious. That's what.
Well,
that
no,
is.
I saw the movie
you're
Jagged
devious.
Edge. You're okay, with, you know, Jeff Bridges had to kind of create the.
You're
the,
evil.
Well, when your father's a homicide detective, he comes home and he just, you know, he's packing a Marlboro. How was work today, Dad? I got a headless body in the Lower East Side. I mean, you know, you start to put two and two together and come up with these scenarios.
Bo, real quick, did you tell me there are only three homes on that street? Is that correct?
That's what I'd heard. I believe that, I think I was talking with John Michaels, and he said, yeah, there's only like three homes on that in that area, so... You only have to hit two more homes if you go by Mike's game plan.
I mean, by the way, hiring a criminal attorney is no way any. It's not indicative that you're guilty of anything.
It is not.
But it is interesting when you hire one of the top criminal defense attorneys in town. So here's the deal. Buffalo Bills say they're aware of the situation. NFL is now investigating. Milton Police, Fulton County is obviously on this too.
NFL will find out. They always find out.
But, I mean, just real quick. You thought you were having a court date to get some resolution. That gets postponed. Do you snap? Don't know. Again, purely speculative by us. Here's the one thing I would do in hindsight. Sell the freaking house and let somebody else deal with it.
Yeah. You know, and we talk about it, the emotion that plays into this stuff is so crazy. Most of us, most of you who are listening, you've been in a relationship or two, maybe more than you could look at, where the emotions overtook you in a situation and you did some things that you shouldn't have done. Don't know if that was a situation. Mm-hmm. It's a developing story. Hey, coming up, Mike Conti, in case you missed it, next on Dukes and Bell.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike Conti is here. We were all here watching the World Cup semifinal. Real quick before you get into In Case You Missed It, which is some fun stuff. 6 o'clock, top 3 at 6, guys. I thought this was a great match. I thought this was fun and entertaining to watch with no real rooting interest.
Yeah. That's been kind of the fun thing about this whole World Cup is with USA not in it, we've been able to just enjoy the drama of the games, right? It's kind of like going through an NFL season where you don't play fantasy football.
That's true.
I don't play fantasy anymore for that reason.
Because too many rooting interests?
Right. I was rooting for outcomes that were kind of ruining games. Like in a 31-0 Panthers-Packers game.
Right.
Like, don't take Cam out. I need, you know, another rushing touchdown.
Right.
It was ruining the way I was watching the game. So, no, great game. Hats off to Croatia. I'm not really overly excited about this matchup in the final.
Well, the dynamic of England and France, just because, you know, we talked a lot about how many players you recognize from the Premier League. But don't forget, the guys playing for Croatia, you got guys who play for Juventus, who play for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I mean, these are some of the best players in the world. Croatia, by the way, becomes the second smallest country since Uruguay. Uruguay is the smallest country ever to win the World Cup.
Yeah, they replaced all the way back in
1930, yeah. Actually. But, yeah, man, it's kind of cool. But you're right. England and France, for all the historical significance and everything else, have been really neat.
Yeah, but hey.
Either way, we're still going to be drinking beer at Mercedes-Benz before the match on Sunday.
Can't be with the one you love. Love the one you're with,
boom.
I guess, right? So
nice.
That'll be fun on
Dance
Sunday.
Dance with the one you brung.
That's right. I know you guys have been talking a lot about the Pac-Man thing. I wanted to say really quickly, it's ironic that on the same day, we talk about how wonderful the TSA and security people are at Hartsfield.
Right.
That we have such an incident. And I was talking with Andy Bunker out there. Like, that video, it really had everything. It had the spiking of a Popeyes bag. It had the hysterical girlfriend that was trying to intervene.
Baby, no!
Right.
Yeah.
And you have a guy who squared on Pac-Man, undoubtedly, according to the video, threw the first punch.
He did. Right.
And got lit up. And now is probably going to be embarrassed for the rest of his life because he's going to be the guy who got knocked out by Pac-Man.
I mean, you got the mugshot is him in a hospital bed. I mean, you
basically
started it.
Yeah.
Frank Reagan's the guy, by the way. I mean, I don't know, because Pac-Man grew up down in Southwest Atlanta College Park. He went to Westlake. My first reaction when I saw Carl, is this a guy that played ball against Pac-Man or a guy that had a friend of a friend? Or was he just looking at Pac-Man's girl and mouthed off?
Here's what I'm really curious about, and maybe you guys have seen this today. I don't know. The guy was wearing like kind of a penny or a vest.
Yeah.
And it said ABM on it. And I looked it up. ABM is the janitorial contractor at the airport.
Yep. Right.
Did this guy just know that Pac-Man was going to be at gate B2 and was waiting for him? Or did he see him? Or, like, I'm really wondering what led to all of this, what started it.
My first reaction is a guy making a comment about a woman's posterior, Carl.
Well,
well, I don't know why you would think that.
Well, because I'm a pig. But no, I just thought that, you know, what do you, how do you usually get is generally a woman is the start of generally some trouble, well, because somebody will make eyes or make a comment. Well, and you go, hey, shut up,
listen,
dude.
Here's what I know. Frank didn't value his job, okay? Because if Frank valued his job, all right, Frank wouldn't be talking noise in the B concourse.
Right.
I don't care if Frank came out of a restroom cleaning it. I don't care if Frank was just getting off work and heading to the crib. Frank did not value his job because I don't care what's said in that situation. Say your piece. I'm not getting into a squab at the job that is paying me. More importantly, in this situation, Mike Conti, where are there cameras everywhere? We talked about it the other day. We travel all the time. You're not getting away with this. And more importantly, Frank, you lost, okay? You got beat up. So this is not a good look for
with
you.
With a decisive size advantage, by the way.
Certainly in height, yeah, no doubt about it. What I thought was most remarkable, though, all the people in Zone 2 who were getting ready to go to Pensacola did not flinch. Like, you don't want to give up your spot in line when the overhead bin space is tight
gotta
on that
NBA. Got to get your carry-on in there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to Dothan, you got to get on that plane.
No doubt.
You know, forget all that Pac-Man Jones junk. Anyhow, hilarious
it is.
Video.
It
hilarious.
Is.
I mean, I'm sure it was not hilarious to the people involved, but to me, as someone watching, I was very entertained.
One question. Mike Conti, in case you missed it, do you drop your chicken in that situation?
There is never an acceptable situation to drop Popeyes.
I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know. She should have handed the bag to somebody and went, hold this, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I mean, wasting food is a sin, Mike Conti.
It really is.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of waste in this country is
was it
terrible.
Spicy, though? Was it spicy?
It had to be.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike Conti.
I mean, we could speculate. The bag looked heavy. It did not look
Pac-Man,
like he just
Pac-Man
got the three-piece snack.
Pac-Man strike you as a man who's not going spicy.
No, he's going
chicken.
Spicy. You're right. He's going spicy.
All right. So earlier this week, you talked about Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, arrested for DUI. You know, more details are coming out about his arrest. And this is getting worse and worse for him by the minute. Now, he did immediately report his arrest to the Cardinals. Okay, the Cardinals already put out a statement saying they disapproved of his behavior and all of that. It turns out that when Steve Keim was pulled over for DUI back on July 4th, according to the police report, first he told the cop that he was the director of security for the Arizona Cardinals. I think a lot of you probably knew that. There's another detail that's come out in the last 24 hours that I guess Steve Keim told the cop, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm the director of security. I work with Sean McKenzie. The only problem with that is Sean McKenzie is an Arizona cop who's been dead for 4 years.
Oh.
He name dropped a cop.
Oh.
And in fact, the police officer who arrested him, according to the report, said, well, the only officer Sean McKenzie I know was killed, and I believe you're referencing him.
Yikes.
Dead for 4 years.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
dig that hole a little deeper.
Jeez
Steve
Louise.
Keim.
Yeah. So, of course, a lot of players are squawking saying, look, let's see you drop the hammer on this guy the way you drop the hammer on a player.
That's right.
You are an NFL
That's
employee
right.
at the end of the day.
That is absolutely a legitimate argument. So LeBron James is kind of touring the world right now post-signing with the Lakers. He was on the Amalfi Coast on Magic Johnson's yacht.
Did you see the video?
Of the yacht?
No, of him chilling on an island. And
No. That's something different. So then he went to, I think, Malibu with Tristan Thompson.
Is that what and they're playing cards, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And he and Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian did some kind of weird double date with LeBron and his wife. And I guess Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian are okay after the whole thought garage thing. But anyhow, LeBron, I guess, the other night, maybe last night, according to this report from Larry Brown Sports, someone with Blaze Pizza, which I guess is a chain of pizza joints.
Blaze is one of those like super fast ones that it's like they cook it at like 900 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of those, they're popping up around Atlanta too, but I mean, I don't know if it's Blaze particularly, but it's a real crisp, thin, crisp crust, but you can order it and they make it like that.
So Blaze Pizza last night put out a tweet. L.A., are you ready for the king of all pizza parties? We're celebrating LeBron's arrival in L.A. with free pizzas on July 10th. Stop by any of our locations from 2 to 5. You'll get a free pie. LeBron sees it, quote tweets it, and says, haven't been to a pizza party in a minute. Should I go to Culver City? Tens of thousands of people then swarm on the Culver City location of Blaze Pizza, assuming that LeBron is going to show up because he tweeted that, and LeBron didn't show.
Psych!
The manager of the store tweets, LeBron will not be showing up for the pizza party here, an employee just announced.
Did they sell? How much pizza? How many pies did
they
sell?
Quite a bit.
I mean, while you're here.
Right.
Well, see, here's the deal.
Cahoots with Blaze Pizza?
Yeah, but how soon did he tweet that out? I don't know if he's going to show. Y'all better get a get a pie.
Right. Exactly.
He might show up 3 hours later.
Right.
LeBron will not be here tonight.
Sounds like an April Fool's joke on
a
ride.
It would be a bad idea. Buy one, get one while you wait for LeBron, man.
Speaking of pizza, you see this story about Papa John?
No, what happened?
Oh, man. Fired from the Board of Trustees at Louisville. Papa John's stock crashing because it came out that on a conference call a couple months ago, he used a very bad racial slur.
Oh, man.
And he fessed up to it today. He admitted to it. He said he was sorry. They put out a press release.
Are you serious?
I am totally serious. The University of Louisville Board of Trustees kicked him off. Remember, Papa John, major booster of the University of Louisville.
Well, isn't it Papa John Stadium?
Yes, Papa John Stadium.
It is.
Naming rights.
Big friend of Rick Pitino.
I got to ask this, Mike Conte. I know we're up against the clock. Hold on. Time out. In what context did he use this word?
I don't know. He just admitted and apologized for using the word.
Oof.
On a conference call with a marketing firm. Beyond that, I don't know.
I'm done.
I wonder, is Peyton going to sell his Papa John's pizzerias now?
I'm done.
I think Peyton's distanced himself from this debacle.
We've been done. Domino's is our sponsor.
Again,
hey, Mike Conte, great job.
Domino's loves all people, Carl.
All people. We love everybody, and Domino's brings everybody to the party.
Thank you.
They don't kick people out of the party and then use racial slurs. All right, man, coming up, top three at 6 next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.